To the book of Ephesians tonight, because that's where we'll spend the Bible study. Ephesians chapter 4 has been the catalyst, the theme verses for the Bible study. I'm going to read verses 11 down through verse number 14 tonight. Then we'll have a short word of prayer. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4. And beginning in verse 11, the Bible says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive." So let's just have a short word of prayer. Lord, we ask that you'd bless our Bible study tonight, that you'd speak to our hearts through your word and by your Holy Spirit. We're thankful as always, Lord, for your goodness and for your mercy and for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. So look again at verse 13. Really, that's been our theme verse, the second part of it. "Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." And so the idea behind the Bible study has been, are we measuring up as a church, as a body of believers? Are we measuring up individually? So 2 weeks ago, I taught a lesson out of Acts chapter 2 and verses I guess it'd be 47, I believe it was, down to the end of the chapter, where we see the church there in Jerusalem as it has been empowered, and the breaking of bread, the preaching of the word, and the assembling together there. And then last week we dealt with the topic of how do we measure up as a loving group of believers, and we talked about the quality of our love, and we talked about the quantity of our love. Well, today I want to talk about a different topic, and that is the topic of hope. Hope. Look on your handout. There's something interesting you'll find as you study through Paul's epistles. And as we study through them, there's like a trinity of three points that Paul brings out in almost all of his epistles. And I just gave you two examples here in 1 Thessalonians and Colossians. But you'll see this as you look at his other epistles as well. So he says this, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." He talks about faith, he talks about love, which we talked about last week, and he talks about hope. You'll see that. We'll see that in the book of Ephesians. Sometimes they're mentioned close, like I have in these two verses. So here in Colossians, chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, the same thing. He writes to the believers in Colossae, and he says, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." So the same thing, faith, hope, and love. So last week we concentrated on love, the quantity of our love and the quality of our love. Today we're going to talk about hope. Next week, Lord willing, we'll talk about faith. But hope, the importance of having hope in our lives. I mentioned to this man, Larry, that I asked for you to pray about, the job that I had for three winters in a row at the Hermitage private ski area. I got to meet a lot of the members, and one of them called me and asked if I would drive him, he's a businessman, into Boston on Monday morning to the John Hancock building. He had business to do there, and for some reason he couldn't take his own car. Sometimes he does. Maybe he was flying out. He had a suitcase. I didn't ask him. It wasn't my business. But I picked him up, and I had never met him before. He got my name from another member. And I picked him up, and we began to talk on the way in. We talked for 3 hours. and a nice fellow, probably just a little bit younger than me. He was an engineer in college. He and two of his college friends started a business as an engineer while they were in college, and sold that business and then bought other businesses, and sits on the board of directors of a number of other businesses, and they were going to talk finances. But before he told me all of that, he asked me how I got into the ministry. And first he asked why I worked at the Hermitage, and then I told him about the ministry. And then the conversation just drifted, and we talked about all kinds of other things. He's putting in a pond, so I was able to talk about putting in a pond and things like that. But about 25 minutes before we got to Boston, somehow, I was praying before I picked him up, somehow I could share the gospel with this man. And I forget how the conversation started, but that part of the conversation. But anyhow, the long and short of it is I gave him my whole testimony, everything, alcohol, drugs, whole nine yards. And I told him how I had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And he comes from a Protestant background. And he said to me, you know, I really envy someone like you that has had a spiritual experience. Because my wife and I, we've tried out different churches, and we just can't find one that, you know, that we like. And then he said they're thinking of moving to the Manchester, Vermont area. And he said they have something there where the one week it's a Protestant, the next week it's a Catholic, the next week it's a Jewish. Oh, I said, that's interesting, but it's pretty confusing. Yeah, he said, it would be pretty confusing, wouldn't it be? So anyhow, I got to share my whole testimony with him, and then he said, you know, it's the whole religion thing. And so that just naturally led into, well, it's not about, I said, Larry, I had to get beyond religion too. It's about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So the point I'm trying to make is, apparently this man is extremely successful, very nice, but there's something missing in his life. When he says something like, I envy you because of the spiritual relationship, the spiritual experience that you've had. And there are people in the world from all realms of life that have no hope. I mean, with all of his success, evidently there's still something missing in Larry's life. Looking for hope. Hope is one of the greatest characteristics, one of the greatest things that you and I have as believers. We don't go through life hopeless. You've ever heard that, right? When there's a tragedy, a plane goes down and all hope is lost. It's hopeless. But that's not you and I. We have hope. And Paul's epistles, whether it's love, whether it's faith, or whether it's hope. And so I just want to spend the next few minutes tonight thinking about that as an encouragement to us with regards to the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. So point number one, if you want to fill this in, is this. First, it's the basis of our hope. What is the basis of our hope? So take our Bibles now and go to Ephesians chapter 2, and let's look at verse 12 and 13. The basis of our hope. You know, most people really want to put their hope in something. Wouldn't you say? Amen? They want to put their hope in something. And Paul writes this in chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians. And actually, it's verse 13. He says, but now is Christ Jesus, excuse me, now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now, I need to back up to verse 12. I should have started in verse 12, so let me read that again. Look at verse 12. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. So, by the way, who was he speaking to there? Yeah, he's speaking to the Greeks. He was speaking to the Greeks. They were without hope. And now they can have hope, and he gives the basis for that hope. Don't you love the hymn? I love the hymn that says, My hope is built in nothing less than Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus. Well, I'm tired today. My hope is built in nothing less than Jesus Christ. Jesus' blood and righteousness, right? It's been a long day, a lot going on today. But that's what our hope is in, right? Amen? The blood of Christ, the basis of our hope. And Paul writes there to the church in Ephesians and to the believers in Ephesians, and he reminds them of that. Now, a couple of these subpoints on your handout. So, number one, we're reminded in verse 1, look what it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." So, number one, we were dead. We were dead. Spiritually dead. In our sins and in our trespasses. Without hope. Without hope. Sometimes we had even sat under the preaching of God's Word and we were dead. Because we needed the Holy Spirit to come and to enlighten us. Amen? So what's the basis of our hope? Number one, we're reminded that we were without Christ and we were dead. But in Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse 2, it reminds us this as well, that we were the devil's captive. "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." So I'm sharing my testimony with this fella, and I'm telling him, you know, I'd gone to church as a young person, but then in my teens, you know, stopped going to church and got involved in things, moved to Vermont. I was very ambitious. I was going to smoke pot, drink beer, and live in the woods for the rest of my life. And then he said, yeah, like half of the rest of Vermont, he said. And so, you know, we kind of laughed about that. But then, you know, we got serious, and I told them that my wife and I we were married for 6 months, and I said, my wife heard about Jesus for really like the first time, and all of a sudden she's excited about Christ, and she wants to learn more and more. I mean, I told them the whole story, how I just went to church to get married, and, you know, you've all heard that before, but he never heard it before, so it was like, he was interested. And then I said, man, I was a drunkard. I was an alcoholic. And we were 6 months married, and our marriage wasn't heading in the right direction. And he's listening, and I'm telling him all of this. And then she's like a new believer, and she had really never heard the gospel. Her father is like an agnostic, and her mother is an agnostic atheist, and so he's kind of interested. I said, that's when I asked him, well, I don't know what your background is. I said, well, I was raised Protestant, he said. And so I'm telling him, and then telling him my own life, and alcohol was just destroying me. And then I accepted Jesus as my Savior, and my whole life changed. You see, verse 2, whether you have my testimony or your own, listen, the fact is, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world." There's no hope in the course of this world, right? There's no hope whatsoever. And this world, they live for today because they don't want to, you know why most people live for today that are not saved? They don't want to think about tomorrow. Tomorrow is scary. There is no hope. What's going to happen? "We lived according to the prince of the power of the air." I was in, and you were in, his clutches. "We were not only dead in our sins and trespasses, we were the devil's captives." And Paul writes to the Ephesians, and he reminds them of this, that they were the same. And many, they, you know, they had their, all of their pagan religions and all of their idol worship. And who was the pagan god? Do you remember from Ephesus? Who was that? I think Paul writes it. Huh? Diana. Right. And you remember when Paul preached and the idol maker, he was upset because Christianity was having an impact on the sale of his idols. But people were enslaved to that, and people still are enslaved to that. And then look at verse number 3. Among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were not only dead in our sins and trespasses, we were not only the devil's captives, but we were depraved. Or at least we were spiritually depraved, and for some of us, we were involved in things that were depraved. Our lifestyles, without hope. But then the basis of our hope is 4 through 8. We were delivered. Amen? We were delivered. Look what he says. But God, who is rich in mercy, I am thankful for the richness of God's mercy, not receiving what we deserve. For his great love wherewith he loved us, beyond our comprehension, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, and by grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding richness of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Why don't you read verse 8 out loud with me? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There is the basis of our hope. Lost, dead in sin, the devil's captives, living depraved lives, but the deliverance of Jesus Christ. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 7, it's on your handout, it says this, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's the hope that we have. The hope of eternal life. Wow. The basis of our hope, it's some people place it in morality. It's not morality. Some people place it in religion. It's not in religion. Some people, the basis of their hope is some kind of universal salvation. And that gentleman said to me, at first, when he said, you know, they had kind of an interesting concept. The rabbi comes, the priest comes, the pastor comes, and probably anybody else, any other kind of religion. Because there's a lot of that today. They figure, well, all the religions, they just dovetail together. Long as you believe in God. But we know that, we saw in Acts chapter 4, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. The hope is in Christ. It's in Christ. That should be a reassuring thought. And then the second point tonight, and the last point really in our Bible study, is the blessings of our hope. The blessings of our hope. Something to be reminded of each and every day. Look at chapter 1 of Ephesians and verse 18. Let me back up a little bit. Paul says in verse 16, cease not, or verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. There it is again, faith and love. Now where's the hope? Well, let's find out. Verse 16, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Let me just stop there. It always amazes me sometimes, you know, as when I came to know Christ as my Savior and all through the years of serving the Lord, that some things which are just so clear for me to understand, for other people, it's like they just don't seem to get it. I'm thankful for the enlightening of the Holy Spirit and the teaching of the Holy Spirit. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Let me just stop there again, too. You know, I think sometimes even people who are born again, because they, sometimes if we're not careful, we quench the Spirit of God. I think we quench the enlightening of God, the fullness of really what God wants us to have in our lives. You know, it's the old saying, some people get saved just because it's fire insurance. It's fire insurance. They don't want to go to hell. But on the other hand, they don't want to grow and just let be enlightened and see the truths of God's Word and the hope of the promises of God. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power. But the hope of His calling, the blessings of our hope. Verse 7 of the same chapter, we're reminded of this with regards to this hope. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. The fill-ins are this. Listen, God has dealt with our past. Amen? God has dealt with our past. I remember when I was at my brother's funeral, and I was meeting with a man who was a pastor in New York, and he came to my motel room to speak with me, and I gave him my testimony. And because most of you know, my brother, he committed suicide, and alcohol just destroyed his life. Absolutely destroyed his life. Just marriage, his family. My nephew, his son, died an alcoholic of, not too many years ago. But the pastor said to me, after I told him about my own personal testimony, my own deliverance from that sin, well, I won't tell anyone. I said, you can tell anybody you want. I said, that's my past. I said, the church I pastor, they all know that. I praise God for His deliverance, that God has saved, that God has rescued me from my past. And it's overwhelming sometimes. I mean, I'm getting up there in years. I'm 62 years old. And this all happened like almost 40 years ago. I'd have a whole different life if Jesus didn't deliver me from my past. Yeah, some of you might not even be here tonight. Like some of you kids of mine. You might not be here tonight. I have a whole different life. I'm overwhelmed sometimes by where my life could have ended up versus where. And all of us have a story, right, Eric? All of us. And that's because one day the basis of our hope we found in Christ, and now the blessings of it. I mean, you know, for a couple of weeks ago, to see Aaron be ordained. And by the way, the text that I preached out of on Sunday was the message that Tim Taylor preached at your ordination, Acts chapter number 4. And my kids growing up and serving the Lord and praying for one of my sons who doesn't serve the Lord. He's missing out on the blessings of our hope. But all of us have blessings in our lives. It's a wonderful thing. Russ told me that when Eileen was born, so many of the family were there, and Russ had them all gather around the baby, and he had everyone hold everyone's hand. And then they prayed. And what a blessing that is. What a blessing for your family. Good leadership on your part there. By the way, what a blessing for me as your pastor to hear you say that testimony. Beautiful. What a blessing. What a blessing to do that. And but he had a past. We all have a past. And God saves us from our past. Praise God for that. And verse 7 reminds, whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. But then we're reminded in verse 8 that we have a presence. And it says, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. So the second to the last point there is God is dwelling with us. Not only did He deal with us in the past, He's dwelling with us right now in the presence. And each day wants to give us wisdom. And my wife said I was too harsh on Sunday. I probably wasn't. That last point where it said what does Proverbs says? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and fools despise wisdom, I think it says. And I guess probably the way I said it, maybe it was kind of harsh, but if we're not careful, we can all be fools, right? If we don't listen to God's word, we can all be foolish. And I quoted you on Sunday, Beth. You'll be happy to know. Oh, yeah. I quoted you then. So I'm so wise. Yeah, it was very encouraging, those words that you said. I'll tell you afterwards.
Oh, you told them how bad it's preaching.
Right. You're doing a very good job, Dad. Anyhow. I know, I'm just kidding. Doesn't matter. My wife says I say too much out loud. Anyhow, but the present, the wonderful thing, yes, Jesus has taken care of and dealt with our past, but every day He wants to walk with us. Every day. And, you know, I have to honestly say, I drove back from Boston. I wasn't going to make this trip. I was trying to find somebody else to drive this fellow. I had a lot to do. But having been able to share my complete testimony with him and get to meet him, I enjoyed the drive in, but I enjoyed the drive out much better because I had shared the faith with this man. I had shared Jesus Christ with this man. And he was interested. And then lastly, the blessings of our hope is not only our presence, but preparing us for the future. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in Him. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. The blessings of our hope is we have a future. And what a future that's going to be. What a blessing that future is going to be. And by the way, God is even now preparing us for our future as we grow in the faith, as we learn more about Him. But we have an inheritance that's incorruptible, that's waiting for us. With it's so easy to look at the world in which we live and get all caught up and this is wrong and that's wrong and this is wrong. And it is. But we can just have hope that one day all of that's wrong is not going to exist any longer. And just live. Just live for Jesus. Be light in a dark world. And it's not going to get better until Jesus comes back. I knew a man, he got so caught up, I think I said this a few weeks ago, so caught up in watching the news that he ended up in a, this is a Christian man, he ended up in a psychiatric ward. He was so worked up about the world and what's happening to the world, and he got so despondent, he lost his hope. He lost his hope. I'm thankful that, in fact, I was able to minister. But for 6 months, he was in a psychiatric ward, and I would visit him, and we would talk. And my verse for him was it Psalm 60, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He just became overwhelmed. He had lost hope. People lose hope. 1 Thessalonians on your handout, as we're done here at the very bottom. Paul writes to the believers in Thessalonica, and who said this to them. He said, but I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. They had actually heard some rumors, some teaching that was going around that they had missed the return of Christ, and that they were going to miss out, and it was false teaching, and Paul was trying to correct all of that and to remind them, looking for that blessed hope. Ethan preached on it Sunday night, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're looking for the return of Christ. Really, there's our hope, amen? And the world to come. We're a long way from having to be a hopeless people. So that's my Bible study for tonight. You see this pattern in most of Paul's epistles. Faith, love, and hope. Last week, what's the quantity and quality of our love? This week, let's keep our hope fixed upon the God of all hope, Jesus Christ, and the basis and the blessings of the hope that we have in Him. Amen?
Amen.
Let's have a word of prayer. Father, bless now our prayer time. Let it bring honor and glory to You. Thank You, Lord, that we can be a hopeful people. Now, each prayer that we bring before You, Lord, we trust that You'll answer them according to Your will. And we're thankful for that. In Jesus' name, amen.